Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, and we will read into chapter 28. The focus of our text will be through verse 10 of chapter 28, but I'm going to read through the end of that chapter, all the way through the end of verse 20. So our scripture reading is from Matthew 27 and 28. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 61. Also keep in mind that in your bulletins this morning is an outline of this morning's message, which will help you as well as you follow along and listen to this message of our Lord's resurrection from the grave. But let's begin with our scripture reading, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 61, and this is the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. And the next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell the people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Matthew chapter 27 and 28. And keep in mind as well that outline in your bulletins along with your text to follow along this morning's message. We're gathered here this morning as the Church of Christ to rejoice in our Savior's resurrection from the dead. And yet we know that ever since that day that Jesus rose from the dead, the news of his resurrection has been doubted, questioned, and even attacked. From that time, 2,000 years ago, until today, there are many who say that the resurrection of Christ never happened. And sadly, even this morning, as in many liberal churches all over the world and even in our own nation, there are many pastors saying to their congregations this morning in their sermons that Jesus did not actually rise from the dead. Instead, the message that is preached in liberal churches such as that deny the resurrection is that Christians are called to live according to the spirit of Christ's resurrection. Christians, they would say in their messages, are called to be humble, to feed the poor, to take care of the poor and needy, and devote their time working towards world unity and world peace. And in these liberal church messages, with no resurrection or gospel, there is very little difference between the message proclaimed in those churches and the political message of the day. The great causes of society are the focus: improvements in medicine, healthcare, or even economic mercy or help to those in need. I know that you have heard that message, minus the resurrection. How did we get here? How did things get so bad that the resurrection, even in churches that call themselves a church of Christ, would be denied? And how is it then that we as believers in that resurrection are to live in such an environment and such a world? Our text this morning tells us that Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection following that time, was the time that this doubt all began. You notice, first of all, this morning, that our text is highlighting a contrast between the two Marys and the Jewish officials. And that contrast is highlighted by a specific phrase that we see at the very beginning of chapter 28. And after, or now after, the Sabbath. The phrase "now after the Sabbath" highlights that contrast between the two Marys and the officials who had doubts and who sought to quash this story of Jesus' resurrection and the truth that it brings. And you can see that contrast highlighted in the structure. Now, as you look at your text this morning, you can see that in verse 61 of chapter 27, we have the author Matthew, inspired by God, telling us who was there at the burial of Jesus. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Then, as you go to the first verse of chapter 28, at the end of that verse, you see them again. The author tells you that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there and went again to see the tomb. And yet, as you look at what is between the two Marys that are mentioned in 27:61 and 27 or 28 verse 1, we have the officials of the Jewish religion, the chief priests and the Pharisees, who are mentioned and we're told what they are thinking and what they are doing. And again, highlighting the contrast between the two Marys and the unfaithful Jewish religious officials is this phrase, after the Sabbath. What does that mean, that contrast, the after the Sabbath is pointing out? Well, you notice at the end of chapter 27, verse 61, this is the story of Jesus' burial. These women are first mentioned at verse 56. There they have witnessed the death of Jesus, and there is a third Mary that is present with them at that point. But there you see in verse 55, there were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, and among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Then as you go to verse 61, again we see two Marys mentioned. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are there as Jesus is buried and placed within the tomb. And now as you come to verse 28, there you see, chapter 28, verse 1, there again we see Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who went to the tomb. When did these events take place? We know that Jesus died on Friday. We know that he was buried on Friday. We know of verse 61 of chapter 27 takes place on Friday. Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. And then the author highlights for us what took place not on Saturday, but on Sunday. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. What were these two Marys doing on the day in between? They were faithfully keeping the Sabbath as God had instructed them in His Word. They did not go to the tomb on the Sabbath. They did not bring, as we read in the other Gospels, their spices and oils for the body on the Saturday after Jesus died, their Jewish Sabbath, but they went after the Sabbath to the tomb because they were keeping the Sabbath. Now, do you notice the contrast that the author has set up for you in verse 62 of our text of chapter 27? It tells us there that the next day, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. Now notice how carefully he words this. He doesn't say the next day, the Sabbath day. No, the next day, which was Saturday, the day after Jesus died, it is described as the day after the day of preparation. Matthew is highlighting for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what exactly these chief priests and Pharisees were up to. In contrast to these women, these two Marys, who had great devotion unto their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, these two Marys who continued to faithfully worship and keep the Sabbath and follow the commands of the Lord, we have these Jewish officials, the chief priests and the Pharisees, who told you how many steps you could take on the Sabbath, who went around as Jewish officials and even challenged Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and keeping their Sabbath laws. Now, on the day of preparation, after that day, when they were supposed to be resting, they are going to the home of a Gentile ruler, Pilate. They go into Pilate's house, something forbidden in Jewish law for doing on the Sabbath, forbidding to go as a Jew into the home of a Gentile and certainly to conduct any kind of business. And they go into that home as Sabbath breakers, as hypocrites, breaking their own law. When they go to Pilate, they have a particular request. And their request is concerning the grave of Jesus, something that the women would not participate in terms of attending to a grave on the Sabbath. That was their day of rest according to the law of God. They did not go to the tombs where things were unclean. And yet, here they go, into the home of a Gentile, concerned about the grave of Jesus, concerned about his disciples, verse 64. Therefore, order the tomb, they request Pilate, to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. And what does Pilate say? Does Pilate give them Roman soldiers who could go and take care of this for them so they could go and properly keep the Sabbath like they were supposed to do, even though they had gone into the Gentile's house and made the request, breaking the Sabbath in the first place? No, Pilate's answer, Matthew highlights for us in verse 65, is this. You have a guard. You have a temple guard. You don't need my Roman guards. Go and with your guard, if you're concerned about this, make that grave secure as you can. And what did they do? Verse 66. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Not only did they break their Sabbath commands that they had made and encouraged by going into the house of a Gentile, but they also went to work. They and the guards of the very temple went into the tombs and found Jesus' tomb and went to work sealing the tomb and setting the guard. Do you see the contrast that Matthew is making for us as he highlights it with that phrase, now after the Sabbath? The two Marys are devoted and faithful. Faithful in their faithfulness to God, in their keeping God's commands, protecting His Sabbath, not going in violation of what God has said. Very carefully, they are mentioned in verse 61 of 27, and they wait till after the Sabbath, until 28 verse 1, to come again to the tomb. In contrast are these Jewish religious officials who have brought about this death of Christ throughout their betrayals, throughout their lying and deceiving, and now even as He has gone to the cross, even as He has died and been placed in the tomb, they continue their hypocrisy, their breaking of their own laws, their going into the house of a Gentile, their unfaithfulness to God and their own laws and themselves by even going to work and sealing the tomb on the Sabbath to quash the belief or the teaching of the resurrection. And so, as we look at this contrast, it brings us this morning to a second contrast. You see there on your outlines the contrast concerning the belief of the resurrection. The first contrast is between the faithfulness of the women and the unfaithfulness of the Jewish officials. But the second contrast is concerning the belief of the resurrection, that it would even, or that it did, actually take place. You notice this time, as we go to the Jewish officials, again their unbelief is highlighted in the section between the two women, verse 61 of 27 and verse 1 of 28. As you look at verse 63 of chapter 27, look what it is they say to Pilate. Sir, we remember how that imposter, they called Jesus an imposter, said, when he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. They heard it, you see. It isn't like they weren't aware of what Jesus said. It isn't as if they don't know about what Jesus said concerning the resurrection. They heard it. They heard him say it themselves. And they are so concerned about what Jesus said that they go about making this order to have the tomb secure until the third day and establishing the temple guard to guard it. They are concerned that the body will disappear, that the disciples will steal it, and that he will that they will say that he rose from the dead. In contrast to their unbelief, notice what the text tells us concerning the two women. These two women who have gone to the grave, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as witnesses. We saw how they witnessed the death of Jesus in verse 56. We saw how they witnessed the burial of Jesus in verse 61. You see how, as Sabbath keepers, they are now present for what we now know will be the resurrection of Jesus after the Sabbath in chapter 28, verse 1. But not only do they sit there as witnesses, they also will sit there and experience the resurrection of our Lord. As the Jewish officials have sought, even before it takes place, to somehow quash it, to somehow make it seem like it never happened, and already have been plotting their story of how they're going to deny it ever took place, these Marys, these women, are present there as witnesses who will now experience the resurrection of our Lord. We're told in verse 2 that there is a great earthquake. We're told at the end of that verse that an angel of the Lord descends from heaven and rolls back the stone, and his clothes are like lightning and as white as snow, his appearance. And we also see that as the angel speaks to them, he tells them that Jesus has risen. And notice what he says. He is not here, verse 6, for he has risen as he said. Jesus said he was going to do it. The Pharisees and the officials heard it, but they deny it and seek, even though it happens, to twist and destroy that story. The angel speaks to the women and reminds the women that, yes, Jesus has risen. He is not here, just as he said. And then they meet Jesus in verse 9. Jesus speaks to them, greetings. They come up. They took hold of his feet, and they worship him. These two Marys have not only witnessed his death, his burial, they now witness his resurrection, and they experience our resurrected Lord 2,000 years ago. Do you see why this contrast is so important and why it applies to you? If you look at Matthew's gospel, we are reminded as his gospel concludes that this story that was planted by the Jewish officials continues to this very day. Following their breaking of the Sabbath rules, their own Sabbath in verses 62 and 66 of chapter 27, we also see in verse 11 of 28 that they went about and continued lying and deception to dispute this resurrection. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews until this day. These religious officials are not interested in a resurrection. They are not interested in the future salvation of the people of God. Their focus is this world. Their focus is their religious authority. Their focus is their own personal focus of doing good for their people and what is best for their people. What is their hope in this world and not the eternal world? And to hold on to this lie, to hold on to what God, against what God has done through the resurrection of his son, they continue in their behavior as law breakers. They deny it takes place. When it does and the guards tell them, they give them money and they go and say, don't worry, say the disciples stole the body, and if the governor challenges you, don't worry, we'll cover for you and keep you out of trouble. This denial of the resurrection has taken place from the very beginning of the world. From the very beginning of when our Savior rose, we see the plans, the plots, the denial that it took place, the hope for the greater good instead of the truth and the power of the resurrection of our Lord. And yet, as we look at these two women, as we understand what they did, not only their faithfulness to God and his commands, but also their understanding of coming to Jesus on that first day of the week, their witness of the resurrection, we, as a faithful church who believes in the resurrection of Christ, identify with these women. These women who believe in what Jesus said at his word, he would rise from the dead. These women who, as witnesses, were there when he died, when he went to the tomb, when he rose from the grave. These women who faithfully kept their Sabbath and went and saw Jesus' resurrection from the grave. These women point to the church of Christ even today. A church of Christ which believes in the resurrection. A church of Christ which believes Jesus' word, that he rose from the dead, and his word that is spoken through the Bible concerning his resurrection and the hope for the future. A church, a faithful church of Christ, believers of Christ, who are as faithful as these women in living for God and obeying his commands and seeking each and every Lord's day to come to church and to worship their risen Savior as witness, as testimony that they believe him, that they belong to him. And a church which knows the experience of the women will someday be their experience as well. For what the women saw on that resurrection day in Matthew 28 is what the church of Christ that faithfully believes in a resurrected Lord will see on the day of his return. These women, as they went to the tomb, they saw a great earthquake. They experienced it. But this will not be a local earthquake when our Savior returns, but a worldwide earthquake when he comes from heaven. These women saw one angel of the Lord who came from heaven, who was like lightning and clothing as white as snow. God's people will see a host of angels coming down from heaven. God's people will see angels. God's people will hear the voice of the Savior. He will say to his people who believe in his resurrection, "Greetings." And God's people, as the women did, will take hold of him and will worship him on that day. What the women experience in Matthew 28 is what the church of Christ will experience when our Lord comes again. His resurrection day is our resurrection day. And that day when he returns, the glory of Matthew 28 will be fulfilled in an even greater glory. And all of God's people who have experienced the tears, the sadness, the rejection of the Savior in this world and suffered for it will have their tears, their sadness that the women knew turned to the same joy and everlasting life that they knew as they saw him, as they heard his voice, as they grabbed him and touched him, and as they worshiped him. The women in our text, the two Marys and you, are faithful as they live for God. Their faithfulness is brought out in their faithfulness in keeping the law, in their faithfulness in testifying as a witness that he rose, in their attendance in keeping the Sabbath, and acknowledging that they believe that Jesus rose. The rejected message, the rejection of the Messiah, of his resurrection, continues to this day. Just as Jesus did with the two Marys, so he will do with you. The resurrection is the church's hope. The resurrection is the church's future. When he comes again, like the two Marys, you as the church of Christ will experience it in all its fullness. This is the contrasting message of Matthew 27 and 28. On this Easter day, this resurrection day, God is calling you to embrace it, to believe it, to live it, and to long for its fullness. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this scripture text of our Savior's resurrection, which reminds us, O Lord, of what took place so long ago, but also tells us in our hearts what has happened even to us. We know, Lord, that this message of the doubt of the resurrection, or even as some say, it never happened, continues to be around us today. O Lord, in that message of social good, sometimes we ourselves can be deceived or fall into thinking that the resurrection is not essential. But Lord, as we look at these women, as we are reminded in your text of their faithfulness, of the experience of the resurrection that they knew, Lord, we recognize our own place as believers before you. For Lord, we long to be with you. We long that our Savior would return. In this world of sadness, we see the joy and the light and the hope of a resurrected Lord. And Lord, we long for his return when all things will be made new. Help us as your people to live faithfully for you. May your Spirit work in us that on each Lord's Day we may acknowledge the resurrection by our worship, by our focus about what our Savior did. That, Lord, we as your people may long for that day when our Savior returns and we will grasp him. He will speak to us. We will worship him forevermore. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.